When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Red Sox On Deck podcast, episode number 29. I'm your host, Bob Osgood, joined as always by Shelley Verstrait. Shelley, what's happening with you this week?
Nothing too crazy. Kind of like some really odd things happening personally. Honestly, like the worst thing that is going on is the state of the Red Sox currently. Hasn't really been a good, half week?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
At least we can relate on that. Yeah, it's been rough, and hopefully we can... I know all of our other podcasts on the Over the Monster Network are covering that, so we're going to, change gears a little bit with our guest today. Joining us is the voice of the low-A affiliate of the Red Sox down in Salem, Virginia.
Also works for the ACC Network, covering baseball, volleyball, and Olympic sports.
Voice of Radford Basketball.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Kevin DiDomenico.
Kevin, what did I leave out?
Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. No, you pretty much covered it. I'm a senior at Virginia Tech right now, and heck of a season with the Salem Sox, my second in professional affiliated baseball, but definitely one to remember, and thank you so much for having me on again.
Yeah, definitely.
Kevin joined Keaton and I on the Red Sea Pod a few months back. But it was super entertaining, and so much has changed since then with the Salem system and a lot of really interesting players that have been promoted to that level. As well as we're drafted in 2021 that have been promoted there. So, you know, we're gonna get into some of those specific players in a minute, but the season as a whole, Kevin, Salem finished 71-49, obviously an excellent record. Obviously with the limited playoff structure that they had this year, short seasons, most of the levels only had two teams make a finals only playoff, and Salem was so close. We talked about it a little bit on our pod the last couple weeks.
Unfortunately lost four out of five to lose out on that second spot to down east on the final day. I guess to start, can you talk about the season as a whole, from a positive perspective and some of your favorite memories, and of course you can talk about that last week as well if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, the Salem organization was, you know, one of the best organizations I've ever worked for. Really great people up and down the whole system. Want to give a shout out to Alan Lawrence, the general manager, giving me the opportunity to work with them, and it was definitely a season to remember. I'll tell you, the last maybe week or so was one to forget for the Sox, but we were able to do so much with the team. We developed Sox Talk, so we did interviews. I don't know if you guys saw that. We did interviews with three players a week and the manager, Luke Month. We do our manager's report, and I got to know Luke, who was fantastic. I'm sure he'll move up the organization if possible. But really good guys throughout the whole organization, and ended on a sour note, a tragic note actually, down up 6-1 in the sixth inning when it was a win or go home situation, and ended up falling 9-7. But a really good season for the Sox, and a lot of good players came through there, and I'm excited to talk about some of them. Also, the Red Sox are up 1-0 against the Orioles right now. I know you guys were talking about the last couple of days, but I just checked the score. They can hold on. We're in the fourth right now, but we'll see.
We were ahead in the fourth yesterday.
I'm sorry, how that turned out. Bad memories. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I'm sorry.
I'm bringing a lot of negativity. Shelly, bring us up a little bit.
I mean, I'll try. So, you know, the season as a whole. Was an extremely great record. You know, like Bob said, we finished the Salem Red Sox 71-49. And I know a lot of the players had kind of moved on to double A as the season went on. But do you think the players and coaches should be able to look at the season as a whole and look at the record and say, yeah, we did great. Or do you think those last couple losses in that final week just really made the season kind of on a sour note, just really kind of unsuccessful, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I think the staff and the players definitely look at that season as a success. You can even look at the opening day roster and see how many guys moved up to high A. And had the opportunity there, and that alone was success. I talk so much about Luke Montes and his ability to develop these guys, and his ability to coach these guys, you know, throughout their journey through the organization. Because it's essentially first half you have a team, second half, you have another team. So his ability to manage a winning team through the first half to keep him, keep us in it, and then through the second half to make that playoff push was super impressive. So I think for him, I think it was success. It was a success, and the coaching staff. But again, you look at guys like Steven Scott, Joe Davis. I mean, obviously Nick York, guys who were able to move up the system. That alone is what we're here for, right, guys? The development of these guys and being in playoff contention was a cherry on top for the whole organization. So far and away, definitely a success for Salem this year. And you look at the first two games. I think we lost by a combined 15-16 runs to Lynchburg. So my head, I thought it might have been a long season, but they really proved me wrong throughout the remainder.
I know Shelly's still looking for her Joe Davis jersey, so any connections that you have, Kevin, would really be appreciated there.
I'll see what I can do. I see if we can arrange something.
All right, appreciate that. Let's start by talking about the rotation a little bit.
There was a lot of interesting names in the second half of the season. You know, varying levels of potential.
The rotation really ended up looking good down the stretch. They had Wilkerman Gonzalez, Shane Drohan, who was a 2020 pick, Bradley Blaylock, Chi Young Liu, and Wyatt Olds, who was a seventh rounder this summer. Starting with Wilkerman Gonzalez, he was one of the biggest prospect risers in the organization this season, really jumping up a lot of lists as we've seen the year go on. Was at the Complex League for a little bit, which began at the end of June. So, you know, he really pitched well early on to get the call to Salem by August at only 19 years old.
I know Port said he has a strong arm, can kind of get into the mid to high 90s at times. What did you see from him in his four-start Salem promotion?
It's funny you mention that, because going into his first start, I knew he had the power with the fastball. But one thing that surprised me in his couple starts that I saw was the breaking ball. Guys, it was super impressive. His ability not only to locate it, but the 12-6 action on it was was up there with any of our pitchers. So that's what impressed me the most about him. And he was effective. He got out of some tough situations. He pitched in some big moments for Salem down the stretch during the playoff push. So he's one guy that really stood out to me. A lot of promise. He's a guy. I mean, we talked earlier on our on the podcast I came on earlier in the season, but he reminds me a lot of Aldo Ramirez, a guy who can kind of control the zone and throw in that breaking ball for a strike and when he needs to get an out. So he's fooling a lot of hitters, and at such a young age too, right? To have the command of that zone and be able to throw a breaking ball for a strike is something you don't see a lot from 19-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. At 19, we really hadn't spoken about him a whole lot.
He was kind of a name that came out of nowhere that we noticed early on in the Complex League. He's throwing five innings, and the numbers were outstanding. So it's good to see.
So out of the rest of the crew, Drohan, Blaylock, Liu, and Olds, who impressed you the most?
I think they all had different you know, I guess they were all there during different times, right? So Drohan's a guy who's with the squad for the whole season. So he was probably our more stable guy throughout the whole season, probably our go-to guy for the most part. Lou joined us late, and a lot of excitement about him. He had some tough starts. I guess the first inning got to him a couple times, but he settled down throughout. But he was solid. You mentioned Wyatt Olds as well. Olds was a guy who came on super late for us, but had a nasty breaking ball. I was able to talk with him during our Sox talks as well, an Oklahoma kid. But I think a lot of promise for him. And then Gonzalez, as I mentioned, was probably the most surprising out of the whole group. But they're all super interesting. Did you mention Blaylock too?
Yep.
So Blaylock, I was a big fan of Blaylock as well. He's a 32nd round pick, I think, back in 2019. But he was a guy who struggled a little bit. I think his ERA was about 4.5, 4.6. But he brought that down, had a really solid month of August and September, and strung together a couple of great starts. So I always joke with him, but he had, I think, two or three starts where he got two straight wins, then a no decision, but went like 15 innings in those three starts, gave up one run. And we do a player of the game on wins, right? So I was like, he could be player of the game in all those starts, but his buddy and his roommate at the time, Nick York, was hitting like two home runs a game. So
right.
He keeps stealing these player of the games from me. But no, he was a good guy, and he was really solid down the stretch as well.
Yeah, he
didn't give up more than three runs in any of his last 11 starts. And, of course, you know, you're not going as long into those games. A lot of zero and one earned outings. So you can definitely see he got stronger as the year went on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other arms, whether that be someone you saw earlier in the season or anyone out of the pen, there is a different late round pick we're going to talk about in a moment from earlier in the season. But any other arms to keep an eye on?
I don't know if you guys wanted to touch on this, but Cody Scroggins is a guy who really impressed me, not only by his stuff, but I would have opposing broadcasters come up to me and tell me, yeah, our guys do not want to see Scroggins out of the pen tonight. And he doesn't wow you with his height or his, you know, the bird's eye view, his stuff, but he was a guy that definitely gave opposing hitters some fits, and he was impressive to me. We mentioned Walter, Ryan Fernandez we talked about, I think, before we went on air. He was a guy who impressed me. I think he gave up, I think it was 14, 15 appearances where he didn't give up an earned run. And I was like, why isn't this guy getting moved up? He eventually did, but yeah, he's another guy who impressed me too.
Walter has really been the guy that has really impressed me. We had a round table on Over the Monster. I think it was last week of like who was like the prospect that like totally just shocked you or whatever. And Walter was my guy. I mean, he was a 26th round pick.
And he was pitching in relief
in the first half of the season that he made some starts, and he just totally blew my mind.
I'd never expected this from him.
I remember a couple weeks ago, Keith Wall over at The Athletic was also talking about him, how he impressed him as well. Were you surprised about how successful Walter was, starting to make some starts and then pitching in Greenville. He had a 3.70 ERA in his 12 starts, 13 strikeouts per nine. What are your thoughts about Walter?
Well, it's interesting. He's a 6'2 guy coming from the left side, and he's a little bit deceiving, too. I wouldn't call him a sale. I'm trying to put my finger on it, who to compare him to. But, you know, he almost delivers, like, from a lefty, it'd be really hard to pick up. So I think the month of June really showed what he can do. He had under a 1 ERA and over 20 innings pitched. And that really impressed me. And then came his call-up right at the end of June and early July to High A Greenville. And then he kind of got into a starting role, right? So he started two games with the Sox. I think they wanted to see him in that starting role. And then to bring him up, to put him in that starting role with Greenville. He got hit a little bit in the month of July, but really, really settled down in August. And through September, particularly in September, where he had a 0.6 ERA. So I think he had to adjust a little bit to Greenville. But, guys, he was a guy who came out of the bullpen with Salem. And I think in that month of June, it was like he's shutting it down. And you could, you know, early in the season, we talked about this before we went on air, but earlier in the season, you could probably look to a bunch of guys that could do that for the Sox and led to some of our success and our playoff push. But he was one of those guys that really stood out. I'm really excited for what he can do.
Yeah, he's got the called strike and whiff rate that's up around 35-36%,
which is so impressive. And there's always a place for left-handed pitchers, whether it's as a long reliever or a lefty specialist, or I guess probably as the ceiling back rotation starter. I don't know if there's anything that you saw or if you've talked to any scouts that see a certain path for Walter, who was a 26th round pick, so it's really coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. There's a couple of guys like that, like Devin Rodal, relatively late round pick, I guess, too, and Ryan Fernandez, late round pick. So, you know, these are guys who really impressed, and I think it's looking up in terms of the farm system for the Sox and their arms.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting into some hitters, a couple of recent draft picks made their way up to Salem. In the second half of the year, you weren't able to see the top pick, Marcel Meyer, yet, but you did get to see the second pick that they were able to sign, which was actually their third round pick, Tyler McDonough. Really seemed like some good reports coming out.
He hit .296 with a .397 on base percentage at Salem. Good plate discipline numbers, you know, 14% walk rate, 19% K. Played a little infield, outfield. What did you like about McDonough in the 27-game sample, really on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I was able to have Tyler McDonough on one of our Sox Talks episode, and he obviously went through the whole NC State situation where COVID shut him down when they were on the brink of winning a College World Series. So you can imagine his, you know, energy to come in and play baseball for a team that was, you know, in a playoff push. So I asked him, I said, you know, what's one thing you're going to bring to the Salem Sox this year? That's going to help him with the playoff push. And he said, I'm going to hustle everywhere I go. And that might sound like a cliche response.
Sure.
I mean, boy did he hustle, right? I mean, played center field. It's hard to top Sadon Rafaela out in that A position, but he almost did it. He got to so many balls. He definitely brought it. Hustling on the base paths as well. And definitely gave us a spark down the stretch.
Yeah, and that really is a lot that we've heard, just kind of doing a little bit of everything, maybe more of a sum of all parts player from offense and stolen bases and a few of those, and just delivering versatility defensively. So, you know, it could be a player that, you know, I think of guys like Chris Taylor in the major leagues now that can play a few different positions, offer a little bit of power, and get on base. They might not have the highest upside, but the third round, that's a pick that can really work out for you.
Super athletic guy, could get to a ton of balls. I remember a ground ball, he's playing second at the time. Again, utility guy, could play anywhere. But kind of ate him up right when he got to Salem. I was like, oh, that might be an issue. But he started making some spectacular plays over there as well. So defensively, he's gives it his all and is able to get to some balls that you wouldn't expect him to get to. 22 years old, too, so you'd expect he'd be in high A next season and maybe move up to double A at some point. But I think he's a super athletic player.
Nico Cavadas was another one, went in the 11th round, who just has a ton of power, and we're really hoping that things work out for him, where he's kind of that first baseman, offensive first profile that is probably a big reason why he slipped to the 11th round.
But what stood out to me was his walk to strikeout ratio, which was 15 to 13. Combined, he had eight walks in his seven games at Salem after being in the complex league for a little bit. So he was a 22-year-old low A, but was a college draftee.
Did you get any looks at him? Did he look polished enough to start next year at a higher level?
How comfortable do you think about us?
Yeah, he did. So he played with us. He started, what was it, I think late August, maybe August 25th-ish. And his power was shown right away. I remember one ball he hit way over the right center field wall, and I thought it was just a lazy pop-up, and that's the way I called it, and it just kept on carrying and carrying, and it's gone. And I asked him right after, I was like, did you know that was gone? He's like, yeah, I've hit plenty like that.
Right.
So tons of power. He's been compared to David Ortiz.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I think it was by his coach at Notre Dame, so. I don't know. But hit 429, small sample size in September. Didn't have him down the stretch for a couple of reasons, and it was tough to not have him, but he was really good when we did have him, and no, he's a good player, definitely a lot of upside.
Sure.
So another guy who kind of like made his debut in Salem, definitely in last month, Brandon Bonacci. He hit 224, 269, 327 in 13 games in September. And he really split his time between shortstop and second. And kind of with Mayer and York looking like they got the shortstop, second base locked up. For Boston, probably for a while. Do you think Bonacci can maybe slide over to the hot corner?
Well, we can't forget about Matthew Lugo as well. He was a guy who, I think he started every single, not every game at shortstop, but every game I called at home at shortstop until that final series when Bonacci got a couple of opportunities. You know, I think he plays a little young right now. He was really, really solid in the field defensively. His bat is a little bit further behind, I think, his fielding tool, but really, really solid in the field. One thing he impressed me on was his arm from shortstop. Really, really strong arm. He got to balls in the hole that a lot of guys wouldn't get to and was able to gun it over. So I think your question about him being able to start at third, definitely not an issue. Definitely not an issue in terms of the arm. He's able to get things over there. And you also have Blaze over there at times, too. So, Bonacci impressed definitely in the field. I think a little bit behind on the bat, but solid prospect going forward.
Yeah, at 19 years old, as you said, smaller.
I mean, he's listed at 5'10", 164. There's probably some... They'll probably have him in the weight room a lot in the offseason, and that would be a level that he would repeat for a year at that age. So, got a little taste of that and knows what he needs to work on, but it's good to hear that the defense is there a little bit.
We talked last time on the Red Seat a little bit about
Roberto Jimenez. And I look at his overall stat line, you know, 306 average, 64 runs, 56 RBI, 13 steals, which in an age 20 season at low A seems like he did what he was supposed to do, you know, decent for sure. There are a couple of other things that might have to do with splits and strikeout rate from different sides, things of that nature. But do you think Jimenez did enough this season to keep the hype as a top prospect in New York because he came into the season as fifth, sixth, seventh, and you don't hear as much talk about him as you do some of the other players. So do you think he did enough to keep that hype?
Yes and no. I mean, based on the average, I think you have to still look at him. You look at a lot of those hits. I think if you watched every game and guessed his average, it wouldn't be 306. It would probably be lower than that. But he gets infield hits as a speedy guy, and he's playing in low A. So a lot of the hits he's getting in, you know, our level won't translate to high A, double A, most likely triple A, and the bigs. So, but you have to look at that average, and he has to still be a top guy. No, in the sense that I think other guys may have surpassed him. I think we saw a ton from Sadon Rafaela, who wasn't highly touted at the beginning of the season and cracked the top 30 in terms of the Sox organization. Other guys at the corner, Nick Decker, impressed as well. And then obviously Tyler McDonough. So a couple of guys have come up and kind of surpassed him. He's been the same player, I think, the whole season, really. But still an impressive player. I don't know if he's top five at this point when you get – other outfielders that have come into the system and impressed the way they have. But still a guy to look forward to. I mean, he hit 306. He's 20 years old. Not a lot of guys can do that. So a guy definitely to keep an eye on.
Sure.
Yeah, we've kind of mentioned him a bit. Prior to this, Dane Rafaela, you know, he won the Defensive Player of the Year through the entire Red Sox minor league organization. And you mentioned him a lot when you were talking to Keaton and Bob on the Red Seat podcast a couple months ago. He's hit 10 home runs, 20 stolen bases, played 102 games in Salem. Do you think there's any growth in that?
I mean, he hit 251, 305, 24 in his age 20 season. Yeah. I think there's a couple of interesting. I talked to a couple scouts about him because he's such an interesting player. He's a short guy, not a big frame. We talked. He played in the Little League World Series when he was 12 years old. He was under 5 feet and didn't weigh a whole lot. So he was signed by the Sox 4 years later. And obviously grew a ton, but still a small guy. One thing that impressed me late was his power. I mean, I think he hit 4 or 5 home runs in the second half, maybe 6. And he really showed his power, but, scouts have said he needs to cut that swing down. He says swing's way too long. But defensively, guys, he won defensive player of the organization for a reason. He got to balls I would never think he would get to. I mean, you can hear it on some of my calls. I lose it because it's really ridiculous. I've never seen a guy do what he does. And again, a young guy, but I think he needs to shorten that swing up a little bit. And definitely a lot of speed. Like, we didn't see his speed as much. I think it was overshadowed by Gilberto in the beginning of the season. But he was able to beat out some infield singles as well. So that speed is definitely going to play a part. And I'd say maybe ceiling of a fourth outfielder. We'll see, though. If he can start swinging it the way I know he can, I think there's some Devers potential in him.
Well, that's very interesting. You mentioned a couple other hitters. Lugo. I know there was a brief appearance from Blaze Jordan, brief appearance from Nathan Hickey. Any other hitters throughout the year or down the stretch that you got a good look at that stood out to you or you think could be interesting?
Either a recent draftee or a player like Lugo was there for the whole year.
Yeah, I didn't see a ton of Blaze, but his power is obviously there. Young guy too. I mean, he's 18 years old coming into the organization. He's facing 21, 22-year-old guys. I know. At one point, Delmarva had a 30-year-old rehab guy who played in the bigs and has over 200 innings in the bigs, and he was facing a guy 12 years younger than him. So, obviously, a lot more experience on the pitcher's side. But I think Blaze needed to get that experience and definitely hit some towering drives in his time in Salem. Who else you guys mentioned? Nathan Hickey.
Yeah, he was only there for a few games, right?
Yeah, he was. Didn't see a whole lot of him as well. We actually had him for a Sox Talks episode, though. Really good guy. Really fun personality. Obviously showed we can do it in Florida. And, didn't have a big sample size in Salem. But, something to look for. A fifth-round guy in 2021. We actually did an interview with Sunflower Seeds in. Because we were talking about what our favorite sunflower seeds are. And I was like, you want to do the interview with Seeds in? We can address that, I guess, throughout. But a really fun guy, and again, we didn't see his bat a ton, but someone to look for next year. I assume he'd be in low A next year.
In terms of, for the fans of Salem, anyone you have on your radar watching 2022,
I don't know whether you'll be back calling games next year or just kind of a preview, but I mean, there's one obvious one that I can think of, but anyone that you just are looking forward to seeing a person that you didn't see this year that might be lower in the organization.
Meyer, right? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, that was who I was thinking.
Yeah. On the same page there. He's obviously going to be the most highly touted guy coming into Salem. I'm trying to think of guys who are going to stay there. I don't know, because a lot of our starters, I think, are going to get the bump up to high A. We'll see what Nick Northcutt does, but he was a super interesting player. He had a great September. And he kind of dealt with an injury a little bit in August, but kind of started to get his back going the second half. But boy, could he knock him out of the park. I think he had 14 homers. I don't know, about 13 to 14 home runs. He's a guy who really interests me. If he gets, 100% healthy and really goes all into next season, I think we could see some big things from Northcutt. I think Decker moves up. I think Angel Mehta, a guy we could look at. We saw him through half the season. He's got a ton of speed, and he had a great September as well. I assume we'll see him in Salem as well. Anthony Flores played third for us a ton. He signed for a ton of money, and we'll see what he does. I think he'll be in low A next year as well. We'll see. And
you got to be looking at Northcutt's numbers again. He had 17 homers and 77 RBIs in 96 games. So
I remember him telling me once, he said, you know, I need to get to 12 home runs this year. And boy, did he surpass that. I remember him getting to 12. He's like, yeah, that was – I definitely undersold myself. But he's got a ton of power. He's got a ton of power too. So we'll see about him. And who am I saying? We'll see if Lugo's there. I really don't know what they're going to do with Lugo. He was – I don't know how many strides he made this season. He was around 250, I think, all year. So I will see what they do with him. I think he has a lot of potential. I think his build is there. Was the nephew of Carlos Beltran, so I don't know. We'll see about him, and then I'd like to see McDonough move up, but we'll see if he stays there. And then behind the dish, Alex Arrow, another interesting player who is out of Northwestern, and he's a college guy too. I think we might see him move up, but his bat was interesting down the stretch. Again, had a great September and came up some clutch moments. So he's a mature guy behind the plate too. Who else? Alan Marrero struggled a little bit in August, and he wasn't with the team in September. I think Salem has a lot to look forward to next year, and it's led by guys like Blaze Jordan and, obviously, as you mentioned, Marcelo Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shelley, I know you want to cap it off with a final question for Kevin.
I haven't been to Salem since 2019, COVID pandemic thing. Are there any restaurant suggestions? So next year when I go up to go see, Meyer and everyone up there in Salem, give me some restaurant suggestions when I'm up there.
Well, where are you from? You're from Virginia. You're from somewhere in Virginia?
Just outside of Richmond.
Okay. So I think the go-to spot is Mac and Bob's, which is about 2 minutes from the stadium. So you could try that. There's also Awful Arthur's. I don't want to give a bad review to Awful Arthur's. I've never been there, but it's seafood. And I don't know how good seafood is in Salem, but you could try it out. I have heard mediocre things. We'll see. I don't want to give a bad review to there. But there's a ton of places. Mac and Bob's definitely is the highlight, so definitely check that out. That's probably the place to go.
Awesome.
Kevin, we really appreciate you joining us. Do you want to promote your Twitter or any work that you've got going on this fall in the various sports that you're calling now that the season's over for Salem?
My Twitter is it's at KDito5, and not a whole lot of content. I think Sox fans would be interested right now. I'm just going to be doing some select ACC Network gigs, and then Radford basketball's tips off November 1st, so I'll be doing that on ESPN+. Go Sox! Always be a Sox fan. I'm looking forward to next season as well. So, thanks guys so much for having me on. It was a ton of fun.
This was great.
I am a mid-major college basketball fan, so I might try to catch a Radford game.
Let's get you as a Radford fan.
Happy to jump on board around, gets closer to
March Madness.
Yeah, Winthrop has been the big rival in the Big South Conference, so we will see. Yes. They took the cake last year, but COVID year, you can't count that.
No.
Asterisk, of course.
Yeah, asterisk, yeah.
All right, thanks again.
You can find me at BobOscar15 on Twitter, Shelly at ShellyB_643. Find Kevin at KDito5, and appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you all next week.